broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love. On Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Radio. Good evening. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, and you are listening to Studio A. Get ready to lock in for the next 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, Watchmen on the Wall with your host, The Watchman.
Don't you play your promise.
There's too much virtue signaling going on, and I'm the virtue. I am so tired of people shoving the shot and face coverings down our throats. Stop using your platforms to install fear. The lack of respect for people that choose to not be an experiment or choose to not smother themselves with a face diaper coming from people that promote my body, my choice, is astounding. If I had to choose between getting the shot and jumping out of a plane without a parachute, I'd say gas that plane up, baby. No one's telling you you can't mask up. No one's telling you you can't get the bounty out, so stop demanding me to. If you're so scared, stay 6 feet away. Life's too short to live my life the way you want me to in order to make you feel comfortable. It's been over a year. I'm not responsible for your fears. I'm going to trust my immune system and allow my body to do its job while you stuff your face with free donuts for getting a shot in order to be healthy. That sounds like a bigger issue. I'm tired of being lectured about caring for others by people that wish me dead in the same sentence. It's not my job to make you comfortable, and it's not to keep you healthy. Stay out of my business.
Yeah, stay out of our business. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hey, how you doing, folks? This is the Watchman here on Watchman on the Wall broadcast, which can be heard on with the Roman pagan calendar states between 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Watchman on the Wall broadcast is live and direct broadcasting live and direct from a undisclosed location from Turtle Island, the greatest land of all time, also known as the Lower 48. And yes, Hawaii is beautiful, but it's its own country. Alaska is beautiful, but its own country. It doesn't border us. It's been taken over. But it's beautiful, nevertheless, both of the other two. So we're just glad you've tuned into the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. We've got some follow-up to do from last week. We had a part one of Dr. Peter McCullough last week. On the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, and I did tell you that I would bring forth more info from that. We only got about an hour and 10 minutes into it last week, so we got a little bit to go still, so we just want to get right into it here shortly. But I wanted to play a clip that is between the Health and Human Services Director, what's his name? Let's see, starts with a B. Let's see, B. Becerra, that's his name. Anyhow, he really gets schooled, even though we know it's all scripted and acting out and everything. But it is interesting to listen to this guy. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. And yet he's telling everybody that you got to get the shot, even if you got natural immunity, which is lifetime, by the way. It's a lifetime immunity, according to Dr. Peter McCullough. Not what I say, but Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the, in fact, the most published doctor probably in our modern day society. And he stated when he got the coronavirus that he didn't ever and couldn't ever catch it again. And he states it on this podcast that we'll bring forth here in a moment. But I want you to hear Mr. Becerra get schooled by the Kentucky senator, you know, Ron Paul's son. He's also a doctor and a senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul. And I thought Rand did a pretty good job. There's a couple points I disagree with, but overall he schools the guy is speechless. Becerra, that is speechless, cannot say a word because he's in the wrong. He's just a puppet pawn, you know. He's a freaking pawn, literally. Literally. Well, that's what all lawyers are. He's a lawyer for Fauci, by the way, as well. Becerra is. And all lawyers are liars, right? All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Of course, lawyers have to lie. It's part of their job. If they don't, they will not have their job very long now. And, of course, they all take an elite, well, those in the North American continent, including Canada and the U.S., they all take an oath to a foreign power and commit treason, and they're traitors. Did you know lawyers weren't even allowed in this country, the greatest land of all time, the lower 48? It wasn't until the 1800s or so that they finally snuck their way in through espionage in a legal format, which is called legalese, right? That's why it's not lawful. They're committing treason. That's why it's legalese. It's a way to get everybody deceived. That's right. Lawyers. Remember that good movie by Jim Carrey? Funny movie anyway. I won't say it's so good, but it's a funny movie. Remember Liar Liar, Pants on Fire? Well, there was a Liar Liar movie. Jim Carrey starred in it, played a lying lawyer. That's what the phonetics of lawyer is. Liar, liar, lawyer, lawyer. It's all on the frequency, right? And tone and vibration. It's all there in the tone of the words. You can find many meanings just in frequency, folks. The phonetics of it all. Right? So let's see if we can pull up this Mr. Becerra getting schooled, just a liar, liar, lawyer, so-called wannabe health and human services director, and no scientist, no doctor, and he says all of this garbage. But he gets schooled first. Rand Paul schools him. Take a listen.
Are you familiar with an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually...
COVID than the people that had gotten COVID naturally? Senator, I have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar.
Got to get back to you on that one, Mr. Paul. I'm not schooled in it, but then he lies later on in the clip as you'll listen.
COVID than the people that had gotten COVID naturally? Senator, I have to get
Mr. Trump,
are you familiar with an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually 7 times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally?
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with
it. You sure do.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as the vaccine or not. In a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel a country.
Oh, a free country, huh? Yeah, it's the home of the brave, right? Or really, it's a home of the slave.
People like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers, we find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I have worked over 30 years on health policy.
So you're not a medical
doctor. Just like a lawyer, he's going to skirt the issue, don't address the issue. He wants to cover it up with the sins of omission. Lying omitter is what he is. He's a committing lying omission right here.
Did you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American.
Yes, that's why these lawyers like to claim to have more knowledge in other areas than what they have. He's not a scientist, not a doctor. He's a lying lawyer. It's like some other people we know, you know, that don't have any degree in theology but want to say that we're uneducated, when in reality is they're uneducated in the field of theology. So continue on, Mr. Rand Paul. Go ahead and keep schooling Mr. Becerra.
You, sir, are the one ignoring the science. The vast preponderance of scientific studies, dozens and dozens, show robust, long-lasting immunity after COVID infection. Even the CDC does not recommend measles vaccine if you have measles immunity. The same was true for smallpox. But you ignore history and science to shame the flat earthers, as you call them. You should be ashamed of yourself and apologize to the American people for for being dishonest about naturally acquired.
Yeah, don't you think lawyers deserve to apologize to all the people of this beautiful country because they're traitorous, treasonous bastards, all of them, every single one of them? Go ahead, Mr. Rand Paul, who's a doctor, by the way, and a senator. So he's excluded in that area, but yes, he's still part of the secret societies. Go on now.
Community. You want more people to choose vaccination? So do I.
Oh, really?
Less in vaccine.
Of course, Rand. You got to keep the narrative. So do you, huh? Okay. I like what you're saying, but except for the vaccine part, because it's not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. Let's get the facts straight.
Hesitancy? So do I. You want to have that happen? Quit lying to people about naturally acquired immunity. Quit
Rand, note to Rand Paul. He's a lawyer. Lawyer, liar, liar. They're all liars, Rand. So just, you can't expect. And these guys, you know, including Rand, they're all part of the secrets. They're all in on it together. They're all liars. They're just acting right here. But I will commend Rand for this great rant on this Becerra, the wannabe health and human service director, who's also, from what I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's still on the board, or was at one time, if not currently, still on the board of Feces Pfizer Corporation. You know, the death shot, one of the death shots home. Yes, that's why it's a corpse, right? Or one reason. It's all about death, promoting death, and taking down the population of the world by 90%. Continue on.
And over people, acting as if these people are deplorable and unwashed. Try persuasion instead of government cudgels. Try humility instead of arrogance. Try freedom instead of coercion. But most of all, try understanding that there's no more basic medical right than deciding what we inject into our bodies. I apologize for calling those people flat earthers.
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion. We follow the facts and the science at HHS. We use...
Oh, yeah, you sure do.
...million Americans who suffered through COVID, survived, have immunity, and yet you want to hold them down and vaccinate them? You want to apologize for calling those people flat earthers?
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion. We follow the facts and the science at
HHS. He's so somber.
Team effort, and we
he's so somber, isn't he? Let's back it up. Thanks, folks, for rejoining me. If you've been standing by, been having tech problems. What else is new? Well, sales up because he's on the board of Pfizer, alleged. Yeah, board of directors. So maybe it's current, maybe it's not, but he's still making money. Yeah, he's making money off of.
But it's an argument for letting people make a decision who already have immunity. You're not willing to consider natural immunity?
Senator, our team has reviewed every study that's out there on COVID, whether it's from Israel, from the U.S., or wherever else. They have used the facts that have been provided through the rigorous research that's been done to reach conclusion, 660,000 Americans and more have died because of COVID. We're trying to
do everything
we can to save as many as possible.
False numbers.
We're using the facts, we're following the science, and following the law.
Nobody's arguing the severity of this, but you are completely ignoring the science on natural immunity. So is Fauci, so is the whole group. You're just ignoring it because you want submission. You want everybody just to submit to your will, do as you're told, despite the evidence, the large body of scientific evidence that says naturally acquired immunity does work, is an important part of how we're all going to recover from this. So is the vaccine. But when you add them together, we're at a much
We differ again. He's promoting the vaccine here, Mr. Rand Paul, right? He's saying some good stuff, but He's still promoting the vaccine. Just like Trumpy Dumpy. He's promoting the vaccine, but he's saying everything everybody wants to hear other than that, right?
Place than if you ignore them. 100 million Americans, by conservative CDC estimates, have had the disease. 200 million or more now have been vaccinated. It's a good thing. Combined together, it's how the disease is. Nobody wants to get the disease. We're not advising anybody to get the disease. But if you're unlucky enough to get it, think of the nurses and doctors and orderlies who all bravely took care of COVID patients. There was no vaccine for a year and a half. They took care of people, risked their lives. They got it, survived. And now people like you are arrogant enough to say, you can no longer work in the hospital because you've already had the disease. We're going to force you to take a vaccine that the science does not prove is better than naturally acquired. That's an arrogance that should be chastened.
Yes, chastened and definitely not chosen. They're not chosen at all. Chosen by the devil, but they ain't chosen by you. Now, they hopefully can repent, but I don't think, again, they have the capability. See, once they get deep into that serpent seed loyalty, it's hard to break away, even though they might even talk about it so well and everything. But the reality is they're still nestled up to it. They don't have the discernment of coming out from among them and being separate. And that's what the Most High tells us. He says in the book of Revelation, he says, come out of her, my people. He said, do not partake of their sins, and or you would be partaking of their plagues as well. So this is what is many, many hard. It's a hard thing for many, many people who are devoted to evil to do, like, is to come out. So that was Rand Paul and the wannabe health. Well, he ain't much of a health expert at all. He's not a doctor or scientist, but they got bumbling Biden. Of course, all his handlers appointing guys like Becerra, who is on the Pfizer executive board of directors or something like that, allegedly. And yes, they make more money, more shots, just like Feces Fauci's on the board of Moderna. He wants more people to get the shot because he makes more money. Yeah. So just like Becerra, go back to Mexico, Jose. What you doing here having a status of that situation that you're in, man? You lied your way. That's right. You lied your way to being lying, more of a lying lawyer, huh, buddy? Yeah, indeed. Indeed. They all are. That's right. Taking an oath to the Queen of England, Mr. Becerra. Aren't you a traitor for doing such a thing since... Well, Watchman, how do you know this? Is that even true? Is there any way to verify what you're saying? Well, yeah. I had a friend that had me drive a lawyer around town about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. It was a little bit further away. And he was a Canadian citizen, Canadian bar card holder, by the way. And also he was practicing law in the United States, practicing law, laws in quotes, by the way. And, that's why they're at law. They're not in law, but they're at law, you see. So the point being is that this Canadian dual citizen, Canadian citizen, USA citizen, had Canadian bar card and a US bar card. And I asked him point blank. I was his courier just for the evening, afternoon and the evening. And I asked him when he was sober, he was definitely sober. I asked him point blank. I said, so you're a lawyer on the Canadian Bar Association and the American Bar Association, correct? And he said, yes, absolutely. And so I said, well, I got a question or two, if it's all right. You don't mind me prying and asking some questions here to get some understanding of you guys' oath and so forth. I mean, when you're a Canadian attorney, right before you got your Canadian bar card, did you have to take an oath to the Queen of England? And he said, absolutely. You know, without any shadow of a doubt, he just said, absolutely, straightforward. And then he was ready for my next question because I said, hey, well, then as an American bar card holder, as an American bar card holder, did you have to do the same thing and take an oath to the Queen of England? You know, as an American... You know, bar attorney, you know, part of the American Bar Association. Did you have to do that? He didn't answer me a word, folks. He just totally pled the fifth without saying he's pleading the fifth. He didn't even answer me a word. He kept silent. I dropped him off at his location. I didn't follow up. I thought I touched a nerve. I wasn't going to get, you know, him upset. I was looking for some remuneration on the kickback after taking him all around town. So I didn't want to jeopardize that. But I thought, well, I'll wait till I pick him up because he told me to meet him or pick him up later after midnight. And I thought, well, maybe, possibly he'll be sauced. Maybe he'll be, you know, inebriated. You know, wine is a mocker, woe unto them who give themselves over to drink, Isaiah chapter 5 tells us. And then the book of Timothy, it says, in the Greek mistranslation, it says, take wine for your medicine, right? So that's a mistranslation because Rome had to get a justifying measure in the text to get people to think it's okay to be a wine bibber and be a priest. How dastardly is that? So anything you see in the New Testament, in the Greek that is, Greek, Latin, English, Spanish manuscripts or texts, if it violates anything in the first covenant, just know that the monks were monkeying around with the manuscripts up in the monastery for 1,200 years before the common man ever got a copy. But just because the counterfeits and the hypocrites have usurped and took over the dominant view, you know, the so-called orthodox view. And again, orthodoxy is a synonym for deception. That's right. Just because the majority is doing it doesn't mean it's the truth. In fact, it's quite the contrary, because the Most High says the whole world is deceived, was and is deceived, and continues to wander after the beast in the book of Revelation. And so I was thinking, he's probably a drinker. I'll pick him up midnight or so. Maybe he'll be sauced. Maybe, because, you know, people do. You know, those that drink, when they get sauced, generally, if they let out their feelings and their emotions, and sometimes they'll even give out answers that they refused prior. When I asked him earlier in the day, he ignored it. Without saying he's taken the fifth, he pled the fifth. And I just kept quiet, and so I waited till midnight, and I asked him point blank, and sure enough, he was sauced, folks, when I picked him up on the return trip. And he was drunker than a skunk. I mean, no exaggeration. The guy was sauced. And so I asked him, you know, after he tipped me $100, right before he left me, I said, hey, thanks for the tip, and I appreciate it, because I wanted to make sure that I asked this question. I said, you know, I'm not trying to pry. I said, but, again, he's really topsy-turvy, tipsy-turvy, however you want to call it. I said, so when you took the oath to be an American Bar card holder for the American Bar Association, did you take an oath to the Queen of England like you did for Canada? Because you said you did for Canada. And he just looked at me. He was all kind of topsy-turvy. And he says, well, of course, we all have to. And he's kind of slurred his words. But he revealed his true feelings. What he ignored earlier in the day when I asked him that question, and ignored me, didn't answer. Now when he's sauced, he's just coming out, revealing his true heart, his true feelings, and the truth of the reality that, yes, all lying lawyers they're committing treason and they're traitors by swearing an allegiance to a foreign power and acting like they're fighting the New World Order and saying they're a patriot for the USA. Shame on you. Unless you repent and come clean and come publicly and say, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm fighting the New World Order. And yes, I took an oath to a foreign power and violated the patriotism of this paganism. That's what it is. That's what it is. Patriotism is paganism anyways. But the reality is it's still not being honest. They're deceiving, and everyone is saying they're fighting a new world order, a part of these secret societies as well, or having an allegiance to a foreign power and claiming they're fighting the new world order. Shame on you, man. One man, whoever you may be. The reality is, can you trust them? I don't think so. Not as far as you can throw a football. A lot of that going on in these football playoff games right now. The modern day Roman gladiator sports in the Colosseum. And all these people that really are sincere and are saddling up and siding up to these traitors. You need to reevaluate your loyalty. You say your loyalty is to the lower 48 and the greatest land of all time, and yet you're nestling up to people that have taken oaths to a foreign power and don't want to admit it, and they want to turn it around and say people are crazy to talk this way or uneducated when they're not even educated in this realm of theological discussion. It's always how these lying lawyers operate, like this Becerra guy just did with Rand Paul. If you noticed, he avoided the question, ignored it. That's right. They kind of twist it around, saying, oh, we follow the science. Really? No, they don't. No, they don't. So let's get back to the originally scheduled program, right? Remember that old saying on TV when you're younger and you're watching your favorite cartoon as a kid, right? Flintstone, and all of a sudden you hear the little beep and it interrupts your favorite show, if you will. And at the end, when they finally bring you back to the originally scheduled program, they say just that. Now we return you back to our originally scheduled program. That's right. Everything's a program. Everything's to reprogram you, deprogram you, and to control you. That's what this whole world's all about. That's why it's best to just come out of man's system, matic pagan government, and into the Most High's royal kingdom government. Right? There's only 614 laws in the Most High's kingdom government. Did you know that? 614 commandments specifically. If you add the judgments, testimonies, and statutes and precepts, there's 759. Oh, watchman, that sounds too many. Like, there's no way we can keep them all. Guess what? Some of them are for women, some of them for men. You don't have to, it's not that hard. Some of them don't apply anymore, some of them just still do. That's right. Like, there's no temple physically. Our bodies, the temple, you don't need to go to any building or of religion because you're the building. We've said this as a glad refrain here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on revolution.radiofreedomflips.com, one of the freest places to be indeed. Yeah. So man's got over 60 million laws and growing day by day. Isn't that exciting? And yet people just, oh, I've got to have the patriotism of my country. Like, Dumpy depends, Donald Trump was acting like over there in Florence, A.Z. Hey, Keithy, A.Z., shout out to you, brother. Not too far in your neck of the woods, old Trumpy Dumpy was having a little party last night. In 2022, I mean, come on, is this unprecedented? Have we ever seen a former president look like he's campaigning when there's no campaign to be run? We got two more years of this. Bumbling, whatever you want to call it. Clone number two or three, as I've talked about many times. I mean, what is he doing? Is he the man of sin? Is he the anti-Messiah? That's what some are postulating. And I postulated it, I think, right after the election. Or the selection, or the stolen, so-called stolen election. And I begin to postulate immediately afterwards saying, wait a minute, this guy, he's a Roman. That's what the biblical qualifications for the anti-Messiah was, that there's a false prophet. Everyone knows that's the poopster, the Pope, right? Whether it's this one or the next one, many believe he's not too good physically, might not live too much longer. But whether it's him or potentially a literally black-skinned pope possibly could arise by the name of Peter or Petra. That's been reported by some on other alternative news networks that is interesting, to say the least. And so we all know, well, not all, but those that are in the know, I should say, know that the Puritans, when they came over on the Mayflower and the Pilgrims, you know, they all knew back then even that the Antichrist, if you will, and false prophet was Rome. It was always entailing do with Rome. Well, come on, watchmen, the Roman Empire has collapsed and it's been infiltrated by Jews. Well, it's still known as the Roman Empire, according to the Most High's government kingdom word that he declares all throughout the prophecies. So whether you've got Mexican Romans, whether you've got black Romans or Jewish Romans. It's all roads lead to Rome. There's a loyalty. In fact, there was a pact and treaty that Rome made with the Jews, the Talmudics, that is, specifically. And later on, of course, Zionism was created by, or I should say, the what they call the fake Israel, the three pagan idols, Isis, Ra, and El, Canaanite deity, and Ra being the Egyptian pagan idol deity in the middle. And, of course, Is is short for Isis. And that's not the Most Highest people. It's Yahsrael. That's the people of Yah. That was Jacob Yahsrael. His name was changed, if you recall. Yahweh changed his name from Jacob or Jacob Yahsrael to Yahsrael. You see, it was a man. It wasn't a landmass. Later became known as such, but originally the first mention, principle found in the word of Yah, is that Jacob Israel was a man. That's right, had 12 sons, became known as the 12 tribes of Yahsrael, because, again, Israel's the counterfeit, Yahsrael's the genuine. Again, just because the counterfeits and hypocrites have usurped power in the so-called mainstream orthodoxy and the majority doesn't mean it's the truth. It's usually the lies and deception. It's the majority. The majority are doing it. It's best to probably go the opposite direction. The red flags need to be flaring up in your mindset. Change your sense of direction and get far from it quickly, because it's just looking to do you harm. But the Most High loves you. And yes, he does love lawyers too. Yes, he does love banksters and evildoers. And yes, you know, we call out the sin. That's all. Just hate the sin, but love the sinner, but not his sinning. Yeah. And yes, there's forgiveness. If you ask, you'll be forgiven. That's right. That's right. He'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. In fact, I'll forgive. He says when you ask, when your brother asks forgiveness, how many times do you forgive him? Do you have to forgive him? And Peter asked that to the Messiah, remember? And the Messiah said, 7 times 70. Of course, Peter said, hey, 7 times? And the Messiah said, no, 7 times 70. And that doesn't mean you count with a tally sheet up to 490 times one by one by one all the way to 490. It means that when you forgive somebody, you now act like if they ask you for forgiveness and you forgive them, then if you truly have forgiven them, then everybody in public will know, actually not even know, that you even had a tiff in the past. Did you know that? That's how you know if it's a true forgiving heart or not, is if they treat you. Sure, they won't forget. That's the old saying, you know, goes when someone says, well, I'll forgive you, but I just won't forget. And you got a little bit of a grudge, a little bit of a vendetta still, right? But the Most High is not teaching that. He's teaching that when you forgive, treat them as in public, as if you and him or her didn't have any issues in the past. Yes, no one can forget. But if you forgive, you're not going to hold a grudge, right? But you can't, you know, how do you say this? It's a good way to say it. It's a good way to say it. Like the old saying is that a person can't get forgiveness, right, unless they ask for it, though. So when you ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you. The Most High will forgive you. But if you don't ask, how can you receive forgiveness? Like the old saying, which is really found in the word of Yah, is a scripturally backed word, a mandate from the Most High. He says, you have not because you ask not. And yes, he does say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But we all have to repent. That's right. Every one of us. What's repentance? Watchman, what are you talking about now? Well, repentance is teshuva in the Hebrew, which teshuva means to return back to the Father's judgments, testimonies, and statutes and precepts. Going back to the Father's house rules, instructions. That's right. Just like you're a loving father and you have children and a wife you're a husband to, you have house rules. That doesn't look like a strange or a hard thing at all. It's just common sense. You've got house rules as a dad, as a husband. You've got some rules of instructions for protection. Your children and your wife, right? That doesn't mean you're a hard taskmaster. It just means you just care, you're caring and you're concerned and you want to protect them. Well, the Most High's government is just like that. Whenever you see all these commandments, they're for our protection. They're not to be misconstrued as, oh, that law, that Old Testament law. Again, Old Testament's a misnomer. And I know this shocks a lot of Christians, but the faith of the apostles and prophets was not Christianity, because the Roman Empire, when it collapsed, invented Christianity, because Christianity comes from Christianos, which is Latin and Greek. And the faith of the apostles, they were Hebrew. And Hebrew is not just a language, it's not just a culture, but it was the faith that was once delivered to the apostles and the prophets and all the believers on the day of Shavuot, as well as even before that. That's right. The true faith of the apostles was known as the Haderach, which is Hebrew two words, Ha-Derek. Ha being the Derek, the way. Derek being the way. So the way, remember the Messiah said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No man comes unto the Ruach HaKodesh or the Father but by me. In other words, you got to confess that the Most High Yahweh came in the flesh, not somebody else. He didn't send someone else. What they call the Son is really the Father in the flesh as his own flesh and blood incarnation. Not reincarnation, not the R-E prefix, but the, take that off, it's just incarnation. The Most High could not die. And so he had to, as an invisible immortal spirit, he could not die in that capacity of his invisibility and his infinite greatness. But he did say, I'm going to come in the flesh, and this flesh is going to be known as the Son. That's right, it's going to be known as the Son. Remember Isaiah 9:6, here's a reference for you if you want to see verification. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his appellations or titles shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Almighty, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It's Isaiah 9:6. And then the following verse, verse 7 of Isaiah 9, it says, and the increase of the Messiah's government, there shall be no end. So for those that say, well, it's not practical to be out of man's government and then just sign up to Yah's government and then exclude man's government. That's not practical, watchman. I get that a lot. Really? Well, then as your faith is, so be it unto you. But it's as your faith is. Because he said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, Colossians 3:17. Yeah. So you cannot serve two masters. We've been over this on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, one of the freest places to be indeed. And again, the largest listener-supported radio network online that you're ever going to find on this disc of an earth that we live on the face of the earth, right? Yeah, indeed. So go and support the network. Go to the website, freedomslips.com. Go to the Patreon page. Support all the fine management and hosts. Not that we get a dime. None of us do. We just need the station to continue to keep on keeping on and getting stronger and stronger as days go by. So commit something if you like. You can commit to $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you feel led. Archives are free. Management's been kind enough to leave those archives for free for so long now. Let's continue to keep on paying it forward. We appreciate all of the patronage. Go to the Patreon page. If you want to go snail mail, you can mail a check to Lady Horse or put some cash in between tin foils. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, that's probably acceptable as well. Just look at that Michigan address there. Send it to Lady Horse there. Say Terry Ackerman, a.k.a. Lady Horse. You can mail it to her, and the station gets stronger and stronger just because you do that important deed to keep the station strong. So what we were talking about, and the reason why I haven't got to the other parts or clips of the Joe Rogan Experience as I was saying is because, you know, we did have a little technical difficulties, and maybe we'll get a little bit in here and there, but I don't want to drop it in the middle or the network. I don't want to be dropped at all by the network and not give it all out. So we'll just freewheel, as the old saying goes, right? So yes, free will. as you said, free will. You cannot repent unless you have a willing heart, a heart. Again, repentance is having a changed heart, but not just change, but a focused of direction, a directional turning point back to the Father's house. Because, yes, having a change of heart or having remorse, godly sorrow, which is really the King James text that says godly sorrow leadeth mankind to repentance, not to be repented of. It was a gift of Yah. But when you have a sorrow, because the term God was a pagan idol for Zeus, one phrase, which is in God we trust, was also the original name of Satan in 1 Enoch chapter 68. And so godly sorrow would probably have a better inclination as righteous sorrow, that, you know, righteous remorse. It's kind of an oxymoron, but very true. In other words, would be you feel like, hey, I've got to turn my life around. I've got to stop doing this because it's not healthy and it's not right. And your moral conscience will testify within your own frame of mind. You'll know that without Yah, there is no peace of mind. There's some people that think otherwise, but in the end, they'll find out that the only peace is really in the Prince of Peace. And so, as we were stating, to finish the point on Isaiah 9:6, we see that it says, unto us a child is given, a son is born, and then this son that was born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, right? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 as well. You can look up those references. It was alluding to that this Most High, this everlasting Father that is called over this babe in the manger, if you will, during Sukkot, during the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, he was born 14 days prior to Tabernacles on the Feast of Trumpets. His first arrival occurred during the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, what they erroneously call Rosh Hashanah. It's really Yom Teruah, which is the Feast of Trumpets in the English. Yom Teruah in the Hebrew, Feast of Trumpets in the modern day English vernacular. Now, the Feast of Trumpets announced his arrival at his birth in Bethlehem. Remember the three magi from the land of Persia. The magi came from Persia to follow the star that the Most High put in the heavens to lead them all the way to Bethlehem to honor and worship and praise the Most High. It coming in the flesh. And it tells us right there in Isaiah 9:6 that this son that is given is the everlasting Father. Right there, Isaiah 9:6. Correlate that with, you need two or three witnesses to establish a matter. Of course you do. You go to Jeremiah 23:5-6. It tells you that Jeremiah, who was a true prophet, that you're going to call this branch, it's a messianic prophecy about the birth of the Messiah. You're going to call his name Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, which is the four Hebrew letters, Y-H-W-H, or Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, R-Y-H-W-H. You're going to call his name Yahweh. You're going to call this one born in Bethlehem, the babe in the manger, born on the Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh moon first days, when that occurred. Not the 1st of July, by the way, but the seventh moon. And first day, that's when he came in the flesh. You're going to call his name Yahweh. All right, he's coming up to 43. Tell him.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone maker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio, Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back here on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, one of the freest places to be here. Listen to the Watchman here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. And thank you for tuning in again, folks. And we've been talking about some pretty important issues. course, we kind of started off the broadcast with the some clips there with the Rand Paul, Kentucky Senator Doctor, grilling Becerra, right? In case for those that have just tuned in, what did you miss? Well, old Becerra was the still is the current Health and Human Service Director, the non-doctor, the non-scientist, who's been going around telling everybody, you got to go get the shot, and if you're not, you know, doing that, when he calls them bad names, he goes around telling everybody, if you do, don't get the shot, you're like flat earthers. Well, guess what? The earth ain't flat, it's a disc, according to Isaiah 40. It's not like a flat pancake. And the word flat, again, is a misnomer, because it's not a pancake. It's not like a flat pizza. There's mountains, there's valleys, there's canyons, there's hills, there's streams, there's waters, right? So the term flat is a misnomer. It's not a biblical term. It's the biblical cosmology of all the Hebrews. And a Hebrew is someone who crosses out of darkness into light. So it doesn't matter what your race is, whether you're brown, red, yellow, black, or white, or brown folks. Red doesn't matter your color, your skin. If you cross over out of deception and darkness into light and life and truth, then that's what a Hebrew literally means. It means to cross over. You're crossing over darkness and into light. That's why in the book of 1 John it tells us that we're called the children of light. That's right. Not just figuratively, but literally. Oh, watchman, that's way out there. Well, no, it's not. It's found also in the Gospel of Thomas, where the Most High, Messiah, when he came in the flesh, he said, when they ask you where you're from, you tell them you're from the light. And if they ask you if you're that light, you tell them no, but we are its children. We're the children of the light, just like he says there. In the fifth gospel, one of the oldest gospels of the five gospels, that's what it's known as, the fifth gospel. It's not in your Bible, the Gospel of Thomas, but it's nevertheless considered one of the oldest. In fact, many believe it is the oldest. Even older than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Thomas's gospel is fascinating because it reveals so much truth as to who you and I really are. That we are light, bright, spiritual beings. That we came from the light. And he says, if they ask you, if you are that light, he says, you tell them, no, but we are its children. Then if you go to James's epistle, James there, right there in the Brit Kadashah, what they erroneously call the New Testament, James says that the Most High is the Father of lights. He fathered us with the light of his eye, the gleam of his eye. It's like the old saying, expression, you know, he's the gleam of his daddy's eye. Well, 2 Enoch 28:9-30, take a look at it if you get a chance. If you don't have it in a book form, you can just type it on a Google search. Just type in 1st Enoch PDF and you'll see, or actually 2nd Enoch for this particular passage is found in chapters 28, 29, and 30. It tells us that the Most High, when he created all of us, it wasn't on the sixth day where he made us. Now, he made man in his image on the sixth day. True. Adam and Eve, right? But Adam and Eve were made on the first day, not in the image of Yah, but out of the gleam of Yah's eye. The lightning is the gleam of Yah's eye, and the thunder is the voice of Yah. That's what Joshua and Enoch's texts tell us. Yeah. That's right. So we started off as fire and wind. Fire and spirit. Right? That's what the book of Psalms says. Tells us that all of the Yah floods the earth with spirits. Okay, it's not the term angel's been convoluted, but nevertheless, it's the Hebrew word melakim, spiritual being. Yeah, that's what we. That's right. We're spiritual beings first before we became human beings. That's right. Before Adam and Eve was made in the Most High's image, they were spirit first. They were light, bright, spirited beings before they were made in the image on the sixth day. So on the first day, Yah made all of the spiritual beings, or all the spirits. That's We're all spirits. Did you know? Everybody, it's living and breathing. That's right. Our spirits. Spiritual beings first before we became human beings through our parents' union. But see, religion, secular society generally tells you that it's backwards. They'll tell you, and of course that's a lie, they'll tell you that you started off through your parents' union, and then you came into being, that you were finally incepted. You know, your inception was through your parents' conception, is what they try to lie to you. You know, that you come to be because of your parents' union. In the flesh, that's true, but not in the spirit. Our spirit is greater and older than the earth itself. That's right, because he makes all spirits prior to making the earth. Did you know that on the first day? So we're spiritual beings first. And the spiritual being that we all are, we started with the gleam of Yah's eye, creating lightning out of, literally, lightning is the gleam. It's not just figurative. Literally, the gleam and lightning of Yah's eye fastened upon the rock. That's why in Isaiah it tells us, he's addressing all of humanity in essence, is look to the rock that's higher than I. And then he says, look to the Most High who hew you out of the rock. Oh, wait a minute, I thought we were made from the dust of the earth. That's true on the sixth day. Adam and Eve, that's right. But on the first day, he fastened the gleam of his eye and lightning bolted fire and wind out of the rock. He created us. That's our initial inception. That's right. Our very initial inception was the gleam of Yah's eye, the lightning bolt of Yah's eye, and he filled the earth with spirits with the gleam of his eye, hewed us out of the rock with fire and wind, which we were made up as initially in our initial inception. That's right, not conception. That doesn't come to the sixth day. Right, man is made in the image, and then of course then Adam and Eve have children that are made in their image, right? Through conception, right? But Yah incepts us, right? On the first day, as we're all fire and wind, or fire and spirit. Melakim, with a in the erroneous form of angel, if you will. It's been again convoluted, but nevertheless for the sake of understanding, I guess we could use it. We all started off as angels, if you will, before we ever came in the flesh as human beings. Oh, Watchman, I don't remember any of that pre-existence up in the heavens as an angel flying around with my wings and everything, and now all my wings are been clipped in humanity and everything's so dreary in this world with all the wars and everything. How can this be? I don't remember it. Just because you don't remember doesn't mean it didn't happen, okay? That's right. We talked about it before. I mean, 90-year-old man gets dementia, right? He doesn't remember when he was 30 or 20 or when he was a teenager. Just because he don't remember doesn't mean it erases what he did. Doesn't mean that it didn't happen, right? So we've all had this cup of forgetfulness, the proverbial cup of forgetfulness, many ancient texts talk about that we all drank from, and Yah wiped our memory. Now, why would the Most High wipe our memory? It's because he had mercy and loved us enough so that we could journey back to remembrance in this life, in flesh and blood and bone and tendon, ligament, bodies, etc., etc., so that we could journey back to remembrance. So that it wouldn't be mentally taxing or mentally torturous, mentally shocking to leave paradise and then be thrown in the midst of wolves and devils and demon wars fought throughout the earth. So he says, I'm going to have mercy on them so they won't remember where they came from initially, but then incrementally they can journey back to remembrance so they can understand who they are, so they won't be shocked. so they won't be mentally tortured if they come out of the womb. The first thing they do, they smack the baby on the rear and he starts crying. Because you left a place of comfort, right? You left a place of safety, a place of security, and all of a sudden you're getting your backside wrapped with a hard hit hand. Some hit harder, some hit not as hard, I guess. But nevertheless, the baby's crying. That's right. All of us starting off as babies crying. Why? It's because we left that place of security. And now this is like, and everything's like, it's like that movie with our colleague on the other side, right? In the Matrix, right? What is Neo told by Morpheus when Neo asks, how come my eyes hurt, when he lifts the bandages off his eyes for the first time? He says, why is my eyes hurt? And he says in the first Matrix, I know they're all talking about the new Matrix out now, but the first, very first one, it's hard to top. At the first one, he says, how come my eyes hurt? And as he takes the bandages off, what does Morpheus tell him? He says, because you've never used them before. You never used your eyes before. Yeah, it's kind of similar parabolic way, I guess. We don't hear this taught in organized religion, and neither do you need it. You don't need organized religion just as much as like you don't need organized crime, right? But it's amazing how organized religion is organized crime to some extent, in some facets, in some ways or another. Indeed, isn't that amazing? Yeah, anything that's an organized religion, I'd run far from, real fast from. Why? Because if they've got a 501c3, that's an IRS tax code, tax exempt status, right? Then their obligation, all those preachers, all those master pastors out there, are obligated to the state, whether they know it or not. And I know there's a lot of those guys out there that say, well, this pastor's been suffering persecution. He's really took a stand. He's took a hard line stand through this whole coronavirus, and he kept his church open, and they hauled him to jail. He's got a 501c3 or such like, regardless of what country. Now, he ain't getting persecuted. He's just violating his contract that he would obey the state. That's what the problem is. When these organized religious preachers get licensed with the state, they become hirelings and agents of said state and become literally a double agent, a wannabe double agent, which is impossible. Saying they represent the Most High, but then they're representing the state. And so they're saying, we're being persecuted. We can't. We're trying to keep the church open. Well, look, I commend you. But you got to correct your status. You got to get out of that licensing situation. I mean, come on. A license is a lie. It's a sin. It's licentiousness. A license is getting permission to be regulated, to be told what to do. You really want that? Not me, man. And it's funny because even when I was a Christian pastor, 7 years, actually 3.5 years, in the last 3.5 years, then we went to our little assembly and we just said, please forgive us. We didn't know this information. This was about 20 years ago. And we said, please forgive us. We didn't understand all this information. And I'd rather admit I'm wrong than to continue to live a lie, and to continue to tell lies, and to keep parroting lies from theological seminary school that we graduated from. We did it in 3 years, and I don't regret my past. I'm grateful for it, because, and don't ever regret your past, because without your past, you can't be who you are, or wouldn't make you to be who you are today. And I'm grateful for that. Even though I'm not a Christian anymore, used to be, I found out it wasn't the original faith of the apostles. This is why I tell people very emphatically that I'm not a Christian. Why? Why, Watchman? Oh, that's blasphemy. You're on the radio telling you, oh, you're saying that Christianity is not the original faith. That's right. Just like Muslim and Islam is not the original faith. Just like Judaism is not the original faith. Just like the Roman Catholic Church was not the original faith. The Roman Catholic Church is the mother of all Christian churches because they put the terminology for all the Protestant Christian churches, the denominal daughters, you know, they're denominal daughters since they're the mother of all harlots in the book of Revelation. If they're called the mother of all harlots, then they have spawned something. They have spiritually procreated something. Or spiritually, false spiritually created, I should say. It's a faulty spirit, a false spirit. Creation of denominal daughters. Mother of all harlots, the Roman Empire morphed itself, reinvented itself as the Roman Catholic Christian Church. Watchmen, no. A Catholic is not a Christian and a Christian is not a Catholic. No. The Catholic Church is the first Christian church. Oh, no, Watchmen, the Peter, James, and John in the Bible, they're the ones that are Christians. No, they're not. They're called Haderach, the way, one way they're called. Another way they're addressed as the Netzarim, found in the book of Acts 24:5, Paul the Apostle, right? What Christians say is one of their favorites, except Paul wasn't a Christian. Acts 24:5 says he's the ringleader of the sect of the Netzarenes, or the watchmen. Hallelujah to the Lord. Because Netzarim meant the branches, which is another derivative of the word watchmen. They were the watchmen on the wall telling what thus saith Yahweh, thus saith the Most High. And they never said thus saith Jesus or thus saith the Lord, because they would have been thrown in prison and stoned to death. Because they were considered a false prophet if they didn't use the name of Yah in the short poetic prefix or the full form Yahweh. Again, some most say Yahweh, but the reality is that Yod, He, Wah, He, the four Hebrew letters, how we get our YHWH, Yod, He, Wah, He, YHWH. How we get our W is the Hebrew letter, the sixth Hebrew letter, Wah. And that was circumvented by the Masoretic Jews, their Talmudic dastardly deeds, and they usurped it by putting the wah, how we get our W, the wah sound, the W sound, was from the wah, sixth Hebrew letter, and they put a V. That's why you'll see YHVH in a monstrosity. It's really YHWH, Yod Hey Wah Hey, because the wah was the sixth Hebrew letter phonetically, as well as how we get our W. And it was the door to knowing the second syllable of the Father's name. I mean, no one argues, generally speaking, about the short poetic prefix being Yah, because everyone knows that Hallelujah is the same in all languages, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's why the prophets, or one reason anyways, the prophets were Isaiah, Jeremiah, right? Obadiah, Hezekiah, right? They were servants of Yah. And the way you could tell if they were a true preacher or a false preacher or a true prophet or a false prophet is by what name they declared. They used the name Jesus, Lord, God, or Jehovah, and you're adhering to their teaching and you're following and they're still using those terminologies. They're following the Roman verbal jurisdiction that Rome gave to people in the manipulated text to get people away from the name of the Most High and get them to commit subtle idolatry. And the Most High is trying to call people out from that. And that's what he did for me about 20 years, a little over 20 years ago now, actually, 1998, we left organized Christianity. So it was a little over, about 24 years. But the last 20, 21 years or so, we've used exclusively the name of Yah or Yahweh because he said, my people which are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray, seek my face, you know, then I will heal their land and they'll hear from heaven and I will heal their land. He said his people are called by his name. Now, the Messiah stated that. I come in the Father's name, and you receive me not. If any other come in his own name, him you will receive. And that's exactly what's happened, folks. I mean, the Messiah was never called Jesus. He was never called Lord. He was never called God. He was never called Christ. Christ or Christos came from Christos, which was Osiris's title in the Egyptian mythology. So Rome, what they did was they had to appease the heathen. They had to appease them and cater to the Druids and all the other religious, sects out there, the S-E-C-T-S's out there, all the different groups out there. They had to, because the Druids, they worshipped Isis, E-S-U-S, which was a bull-faced pagan idol that they worshipped. It was called Isis. This is the beginning stages of the stages of Christianity. Before that, the Druids worshipped Isis, a bull-faced idol that they set up to worship. So the Druids worshipped Isis. Of course, they worshipped many other things, but Isis was pronounced and literally spelled E-S-U-S. And it was a bull-faced, four-footed beast of an idol that they worshipped. And so Rome said, well, okay, we got to get these Druids in. So let's put a J later on in the second King James Bible through the English, Because remember, you've got to keep in mind, Great Britain is known as Rome's Britannia. In the Roman Empire, they were known as Britannia. And so it's always been Rome and England, right? Because Rome's New York was Britannia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you analyze... I mean, like I tell people, don't believe what I say, verify what I say. You can look it up. The Roman Catholic, Roman Empire, it morphed itself. They knew they had to reinvent themselves now to take the world over again. They knew it would take centuries, indeed, even a millennium or two, even. Yes, and Two Feathers did bring out a good point. 500 A.D., yes, it indeed happened. I totally concurred with him of what he was presenting. The deadly wound of Rome and Islam, keep in mind, was not formed till 600 to 700 AD. The Catholic cardinal Muhammad was told by one of the popes at that time to be the front man, in essence, of this new religion called Islam that Rome could hide behind and take the heat. Because, Rome realized, wait a minute, when we were the empire, everyone knew we ruled. Everyone knew that the Roman Empire was in charge of things in the political arena. But now we're going to say, let's not just control the political arena. Let's control that as well as religion. Let's create a religious society. Let's get everyone now under one big umbrella and call it the Roman Catholic Christian Church. The Roman Catholic, RCC, the Roman Catholic Church, right? Catholic being worldwide. Universal, right? RCC, right? Roman Catholic Church. Similar to the UCC in the secular side of the Uniform Commercial Code, which is really Universal Catholic Church, showing you that all of the laws, the so-called laws, I should say, is all Roman. Oh, Watchman, come on. You got to give me more evidence than that. I don't believe you. Okay. Civil law. One of the glad refrains here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on revolution.radiofreedomslips.com. One of the freest places to be indeed. Guess what? Civil means Roman. So if you're a civilized person, you're a Romanized person. You're a Roman Greco society member. Oh, yeah. Oh. And yet we all have been trained in the Western civilized mind. That's right. In the lower 48, even northern Canada, even all above the brethren up in Canada, right? North America. That's why those Canadian, American lawyers all swear an oath to allegiance to the Queen, as we mentioned earlier. Here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast, we'll be right back shortly after these few promotions of our fellow colleagues here on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. Places to be indeed. Stay tuned. We'll come back for the final segment.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, your lives are becoming more difficult as the life force of your world is draining away. Have you noticed that as everything around you seems to decline, one thing still grows? It is the power of your rulers. None of their plans and directives have solved your problems or made your life better. The only result has been their increased control over you at the cost of your freedom. Do you know why? You gave them the power. They called for your sacrifice, and you thought it was noble. They said if you worked for yourself and your family, that you were selfish and uncaring, and they made you feel ashamed. They denounced the leaders of industry as greedy exploiters. You agreed. All evil needs to win is the consent of good people. To everyone within the range of my voice, you now have a choice to make. If you decide to support the notion of sacrifice enforced by the state, your game is up. Your world is in a downward spiral, and you will ride it down to destruction. But if you share the values, if you believe that your life is a sacred possession for you to make the most of, if you want to live by the judgment of your own mind, not edicts from the state, then follow our lead. Do not support your own oppressors. Stop letting the system exploit you. Form your own communities on the frontiers of your crumbling world. Your rulers hold you by your endurance to carry the burdens they impose, by your generosity when you hear cries of despair, and above all, by your innocence which cannot grasp the depths of their evil. The world you are living in is the world they wanted. Leave them to it. Those who are eager to build a better world, a world of freedom and opportunity, a world based on mutual respect. In that world, you will not receive alms, nor pity, nor forgiveness of sins, but honor, respect, and justice. Don't let the fire go out spark by irreplaceable spark in confusion and despair. The world you desire can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It is yours.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. The number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. It's your world. Take it.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we're back here on
The Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman here on Revolution.Radio, freedomslips.com. One of the freest places to be indeed. Glad you tuned into our last segment here for tonight's broadcast. And it's been interesting, to say the least. Thanks for all the great tech help, Mr. Rowe. Shout out to you, my friend. Doing a great job as always. Helped me get on. Thanks again to our general manager, Matt Painter, hooking me up on the broadcast tonight. Again, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Richard, too. Shout out to you guys. And all the management team. Beyond, I mean, just great quality. A1, A-listers, all the way. And thanks again. Shout out to Lady Horse. And again, our fine general manager, John Wayne. Shout out to you. Praying for you, man. Hope you keep on getting stronger and stronger day by day. And, of course, all the rest of the great management team. And if I didn't get a chance to mention your name, well, I wasn't intentional. I appreciate you all. Y'all do a fine job. Y'all have your gifts and talents, and so obviously on display on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. Woo! Hallelujah. One of the freest places to be. Feel like singing a little bit tonight. Oh, come on, Watchman. You're going to try to sing a cappella on air? You really got the guts to do that? Hey, man. I sing in the key of O, which is for off key. Everyone sounds better, they say, in the shower, right? That's right. Remember that commercial they got Shaq on the he's taking a shower, and they got Kenny Smith and from the TNT basketball guys, and they're on television, and he's singing in the shower, and they're all looking at like at each other like, wow. I mean, Shaq, he is a different kind of bird. I remember interviewing him coming out of the Warrior-Laker game back in, I believe it was 99 or 2000. And Kobe Bryant, at the time, we had done an interview with him. And Shaq, how I got my interview with Shaq was Kobe Bryant. This was his second or third year in the league. And before the game, I approached – this was the Warriors versus the Lakers. And before the game, I approached this giant, huge man. I mean, just a huge dude. Hands is just – almost twice my size of my hands. And I approached Mr. O'Neal in a humble way, and I said, Shaquille, Mr. O'Neal, I read about your faith. I know you were raised in Louisiana with a faith and military background. Would love to get an interview about your faith in the Messiah. And he said, meet me after the game, and I'd be glad to talk about my faith. So I was shocked that he even granted me the interview after my request. But here's the thing. Halfway through the game, he got thrown out. Before halftime, Shaq got thrown out. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm never going to get this interview. I'm like, oh, no, man. They're down 29. The Lakers are down 29 points at halftime. And he just got thrown out. And I'm thinking, he's not going to be maybe in the best mood. But hopefully, we've been talking about faith, hope, charity, spiritual stuff, right? Important stuff, the most important things, you know? And he was all, you know, consenting for me to come and greet him and interview him. And so I was a little tentative. I'm thinking, okay, he's not, might be in the best mood. Because especially at halftime, they were down 29 points. And Kobe Bryant, at that time, the press was trying to stir, is it Shaq's team or is it Kobe's team? Is it Shaq's team or is it Kobe's team? You know, is this young whippersnapper Kobe Bryant was putting up a lot of points. In fact, that night, he brought the team back from 29 points down. It might have been 28 points. Either way, 28 or 29 points, that's a whole lot of points to make up in a half. But nevertheless, and they were on the road, too. They were in Oakland, California. I was doing my radio broadcast, sports radio back then, as well as it was a spiritual sports-based broadcast. And nevertheless, Kobe Bryant brought the team back and won in double overtime, mind you, on the road. And at that time, I'm like, man, it's a double overtime. It's a long game. Is he even going to be in the locker room? So I go down in the tunnel. Sure enough, I walk into a press conference, and Shaq is being interviewed by, I think it was Fox, ESPN, the big, you know, the big wigs. I'm just a little small, little, spiritual radio station, you know, a little, terrestrial radio station representing there. And I'm thinking, no way am I going to be able to get this interview because he's now being questioned by the media, the sports media, ESPN and Fox and all the other beat writers, the Bay Area, LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle. They had their beat writers, and they were trying to create this controversy. So, Shaq, how does it feel that Kobe Bryant, your young protege, has brought the team back after you were thrown out at halftime? How does it feel that a young man by the name of Kobe Bryant has now brought the team back and did it without you? Does that mean now it's Kobe's team or is it Shaq's team? I mean, they like to, you know, stir up controversy. And so I'm on the way back, you know, I'm like a way back in the whole press conference, and it's kind of, the lights are kind of dimmed. It's not really that bright in there, and the spotlight's on Shaq, and they're waiting for his, you know, anticipating his response, like, you know, and he ignores them. Didn't even answer them a word. In fact, he's irritated and agitated by the controversial question, pitting him against his young teammate that brought the team back without him when he got thrown out. So he ignores them. He looks in the back, and I think he saw me because he said, come on, Rev, let's go. I'm going to give you that interview. And he walked me to the Lakers bus. We did the interview about 10 or 15 minutes before they left. I couldn't believe that he blew off Fox, ESPN for little old me, just a little old spiritual radio broadcaster trying to get athletes' faith on tape. I think they trusted me because I'm not looking to slur or create controversies or slander like these media secular sports reporters like to do, similar to lying lawyers. Right? They're good about slander and libel, right? Well, you know, just slander is just a verb, right, for libel. It's just the verbal aspect of the written aspect of libel, right? And so I was kind of, you know, humbled by that. Did not anticipate that. For stop, for sure, wouldn't even get an interview, but he gave me good, I'd say close to 15 minutes. And we talked about his faith. I think he said he was raised Baptist in Louisiana. His military, he was like a military brat. I think it was his stepfather that raised him. I'm just trying to recall the best I was spent over 20 years ago. And, but it just really humbled me. It was one of my highlights of, interviews because how he blew off ESPN and Fox, secular sports networks, right? And, said it in front of all of them. Come on, Rev, let's do that interview right now. So he comes to the back and then he walks me to the bus outside and we do the interview for about a good solid 15 minutes. And I wish I had a lot of those, little micro cassette tapes we were doing our interviews with. Back in those days, we used these little micro cassette recorders, and I had saved all these little micro cassettes of all these interviews. And I would say, if I'm interviewing NBA basketball players, which by the way, all of it's rigged. Of course, back then I didn't even, well, I knew some games were thrown, you know, college and NBA, and I knew they were, some of them were thrown, and then, you know, thrown as in rigged. But back then, I thought there was some purity still compared to now. Of course, we know it's all rigged now. But we did some NFL. We did some MLB as we've talked. I don't talk a lot about it because I just, you know, I look at it now as just modern day Roman gladiators and just a distraction from what's really is the most important thing. And I look back on it now from all of the From the NHL, I did cover the Minnesota Wild, I think one game. That was my only NHL coverage. The majority of the time, we were doing NBA and Major League Baseball and more NFL than hockey. Hockey, we just did a one-time thing. The novelty wears off after the first couple years. The first year or two, yeah, okay, it's a novelty. But after a while, like anything, it gets old. And it's not what you think it is. It's way overblown. In fact, it's so overrated that you begin to realize why these guys, these athletes, get tired and leery of the media, mainstream media, whether it be sports media or secular
headline news, whatever. They're leery because they had their words misconstrued. And I've always tried to, when I was doing my interviews, you know, from the sports spiritual angle, mixing it together back then, I was always trying to be transparent with them and say, you know, we're not going to edit anything you say. I always told the athlete before the interview, I said, we're not going to edit anything you say. We're not going to cut anything out. I want you to feel free to speak your mind, your heart, and it won't be edited. We're going to get your whole, you know, quotes in context. And that's one thing that we tried to do and just be, you know, real. Because that's what they are tired of, the fake, phony, and false reporters that are looking to slime them or slander them, you know, misrepresent them, you know, curse at them publicly. And they're even a libel aspect or a slanderous verbal aspect, which I know all too well. But it's okay because the Messiah said, if they hated me without a cause, you know, the master of the house, surely the servant of the house, they're going to hate even more. So it comes with the territory, right? And so a lot of these athletes, they don't like to be slandered or liable. I mean, you know, so it's just the reality that when they see something different, hear something different, we came from an angle of, you know, we're not looking for controversy. We just want, you know, you to give your testimony about your belief, your faith, uncensored, unfiltered. And I do respect a lot of the hosts on this network because they're bringing out the best they know how, the information, and they're doing it from a sincere heart, and I do appreciate that. That is one thing about Revolution.Radio, FreedomSlips.com. Again, one of the freest places to be that I do enjoy this network is that it's got a sincerity and a transparency. And I like the way Sargent says it. People, real people, I don't know how he said it, but it was so succinct. It was so timely the other night when he said it on air. Real people, real emotions. And that's what happens. You know, when you get people together, emotions fly. Yeah. Yeah, so enough of that. Sorry if I bored you with that. Again, I don't really talk a lot about that. Sometimes I do get asked to talk about it more, but and maybe I will at times, I guess when it's warranted. But I don't look at it as anything great anymore. Back then, yeah, everyone thought it was great. You know, yeah. But now I look back on it, I'm like, man, I wasted so much time, you know, because it's such a distraction. Yes, it's okay. I mean, the financial remuneration, everything was there. But back then, it wasn't like it is today. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if you're a sports beat reporter and you got to go in there, hey, you can't come in here unless you got proof of that. I'm sorry, man. I'm not going that route. It's totally the mark of the beast. Oh, come on, Watchman. This shot isn't the mark of the beast, Watchman. Well, if it's not, tell me what's coming in the future that's going to be able to kill as many people that they've already got in holding right now, waiting for more of a death wave. We're seeing the death wave even now. I mean, if the scriptures, the word of Yah clearly says that at least one third of the earth dies. And the Most High did go on to say, he said that if those days would not be shortened, he said, no flesh on the earth would be saved or would survive. He said, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So that's the good news. If you're the elect, that is. The good news is to the elect. Who's the elect, watchman? The elect are those who repent of their sins, which means teshuvah. And sin is the transgression of Yah's government instructions or his kingdom laws. And when you confess and forsake, if you make it a covenant with the Most High in your heart and your mind, you can come out of darkness, of the darkness of man's government, the serpent seed governments of men. All 190, 200 countries, every one of them under the satanic serpent seed line. And yes, indeed, the Most High does work in the affairs of man and in the governments of man. True, true, true. But he does say to come out of her, my people, come out from among them, be separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing. So his whole message to us is to not make contracts with the heathen. He tells us that in the book of Exodus. He tells us not to covenant or contract What's a contract? Again, it's a con and it's a traction. That's what contract. You contracted with the heathen. He says, don't do that. In other words, you want to be in covenant with the Most High. You don't want to contract with the serpent seed system. And no man or woman could serve two masters. And we've all been guilty, including myself, in the past. That is until I corrected my status. Thank the Most High for that. Because he translates us back into his kingdom according to the book of Ephesians. And that we're out of the principalities and powers of and rulers of darkness, translated out of that into the Most High's, the Most High Messiah's kingdom. That's right. Just like we read earlier or mentioned earlier, I should say 9:7 of Isaiah, of the increase of the Most High Messiah's government, there shall be no end. You see. That's right. No end. So he was born, what, approximately 2,000 years ago or more. He died, buried, resurrected on the third day. He showed himself infallible proofs, right? That he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. He said, death, where is thy sting? Hell is where is thy victory? It's gone. He said that the sting of death is sin. And when you have repentance, which is confessing and forsaking your sin, which is transgressing of Yah's instructions from the first covenant all the way to the renewed covenant. Again, 614 laws of Yah, 759 if you include the statutes, precepts, and the judgments, testimony, statutes, and precepts. That's only 759. Again, some don't apply some apply just to men, some apply just to women. Some apply back to an old ancient Levitical priesthood temple, which they don't have no more. It doesn't apply. So it's not that hard, folks. That's just too hard. Well, he did bring better things in the renewed covenant, true, but he didn't do away with his everlasting Torah, which is instructions in the Hebrew. It's Torah. It's Hebrew. Is for instructions, a loving father's household instruction. So what would you rather be? Because he said you can't serve two masters. You can come under my 759, some apply, some don't for us. Or you want to be under man's 60 million laws and growing every day, so-called fake laws, every day. Which sounds like freedom and which sounds like bondage to you? I mean, the choice is yours, right? There's no coercion here. The Most High says, I stand at the door and knock. It's your choice, right? Your body, your choice. Your life, your choice, right? You have a choice, right? Many are called, he says, few are chosen, right? Well, how do I know, watchman, if I'm chosen? Well, you can choose to be chosen, right? I preached a message one time at a church called the Chosen Frozen. Yeah, the Chosen Frozen. What's that mean? Many are called, few are chosen, right? Or many are called, and many are frozen, as in ice cold. They don't want to hear this. They're all, that's good for them. They don't wear the bow tie, or they got the stiff neck as a bow tie. They don't want to wear the long looping tie, which is good for them. Don't wear it. Good for them. They don't wear it no more. Why? I don't wear one no more because a tie down the middle with a white shirt, and you got your coat representing the womb of a woman. That's where it came from in symbology, if you go back to the history of it. And why does the tie down the middle of a coat, open wide, represent the phallus? That's what it means, diabolus symbol, right? That's why the Most High says, don't wear that. And if the book of Zephaniah says, Yah destroys those who wear strange apparel. Oh, watchman, that sounds so hard. Sounds like that Old Testament deity you're talking about. No. Oh. That's just saying, hey, he got some rules. He doesn't want us to look like the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. That's why he says to come out of her, my people. Don't partake of her sins. Don't partake of her plagues. Because if you do partake of their sin, he said you're going to partake of the plagues, and the plagues are here. And why is this all happening, watchmen? It's because the judgment of Yah is here. It ain't stopping. They've got their metal to the pedal, don't they? They ain't stopping. Oh, but we just won a victory. The 100 employees, the businesses are not going to be fined $14,000 for each violation. And okay. But then they mandated 12 million nurses and health professionals to get the shot. Therefore, bringing in the military. Hello, medical military martial law. Oh, yeah. But maybe nevertheless, it's bought maybe a few months, maybe a year. I don't see 2 years, but maybe a year still potentially. But then again, hey, we've got so many earth so-called changes, they say, that's coming on us. Look at all those volcanoes going, eruption over there. Was that La Palma? What they got going over there in Tonga, that John Wayne brought out in the chat room. Very salient points there, brother. Observing astute observations you're making. No doubt about it. Things are happening faster and faster. How do you escape these things, watchmen? You come to the Messiah by repentance, confession, and forsaken. You don't got to confess to a priest. You don't have to confess to a man or a woman. Confess to the Most High in your own private devotion. Talk to him like you would your best friend, because he really is, whether you believe it or not. Even if you don't even believe in him, he is your best friend. He wants to be anyways. He's the ultimate gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's just going to stand at the door and knock, like he says in the book of Revelation. He stands at the door and knocks at the door of your heart. It's up to you to open up to him. But see, that's why he's the Ruach HaKodesh, what they call erroneously the Holy Spirit. He's gentle. He's set apart. And he waits for you to open up. But there's evil spirits that will try to crawl through the cracks of the door of your heart any old way and try to slam their way in there, barge their way into your heart, and take over and possess many, many people, which is sad. And the Most High came to set the captive free. And so by repentance and confession and forsaken to the Most High only. And then go to those that maybe, you know, you need to make restitution. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's like make restitution, you know. They're sorry, all right. They're sorry they got caught. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're sorry you got caught. But Yah's sorrow works repentance or brings you back into Yah's house in good standing. By repentance, then what's the next step? Repentance is like a type of death. It's a type. It's symbolic. I mean, you're dying out to your self-willed ways, saying, Father, cleanse me, forgive me. If I've sinned, forgive me. It's coming from a sincere heart. And when you do that, and you've made up your mind, I'm going to serve him all the rest of my days. What's the next step? Well, what do you do with a dead man? Repentance is a type of death. What do you do? In the natural, you would bury, right? So how do you spiritually bury? It doesn't mean literally. It's just parabolically or symbolically, you bury yourself in water, you know, therefore we're buried with him in baptism into death. In other words, if repentance is a type of death and you died to your old self-willed ways and you've made up your mind, you're going to serve him. Repentance is death, baptism, and you can do it yourself. You can be baptized in only in the name of the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth. And it's for the remission of sins, like Acts 2:38 says. Not JC, but in the name of Yahweh, the Messiah of Nazareth. And once you do that, your sins, he says, he washes your sins. He throws them as far as the east as is from the west. And then you come up out of the water. Because you don't sprinkle dirt on a dead body, right? Corpse? No. In the natural, but in the spiritual, you don't sprinkle water on a baby either. No baby was ever baptized in the Word of Yahweh. You don't sprinkle water for a baptism, regardless of your age either. But you come under the water momentarily. In that split second, you come up out of the water. We're buried with him by baptism. It says not sprinkling with him, but being buried with him in baptism in a momentary under the water. Your whole body under the water in a live body of water. Come up, the hands outstretched, and Yah will fill you with his spirit, which is the resurrection power. So death, burial, resurrection, the type in a three typology. That's how you can be ready for the Most High. And then you say, I'm going to follow your judgments, testimonies, and statutes. I'm going to forsake man's system, and I'm going to come into your kingdom. And then he says, if you believe in me and you're alive, he says, you'll never taste death. Read John 11:26. Thanks, folks, for listening here to the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman here on Revolution.Radio, freedomslips.com, one of the freest places to be. Till next week, we're going to hopefully get some more of those clips of the podcast I was alluding to earlier. Thanks again for tuning in, folks. Get baptized in the name of the Most High Yahweh of Nazareth for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. With the evidence of speaking in a heavenly language, as the Spirit gives the utterance, is a spiritual language that comes of angels. And Mark 16 says,
University of Utah.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hyper thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.